In today's news headlines, primary races took place in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, and Connecticut on Tuesday, and many progressives won Democratic nominations. In Minnesota, Somali American Ilhan Omar won her primary for the seat being vacated by Keith Ellison if she beats her Republican opponent in November, which is likely in the strongly Democratic district. She would join Michigan's Rashida Tlaib to become the first Muslim American woman to ever serve in Congress. Mr. Ellison also won his race to become the Democratic nominee for Minnesota Attorney General, despite recent allegations about domestic abuse. In Connecticut, a first-time candidate and former teacher, Johanna Hayes, won the Democratic nomination for House seat. If she wins in November, the Washington Post reports that she would be, quote, the first Black woman of either party to represent part of New England in Congress. In Wisconsin, Randy Bryce, who goes by the moniker Iron Stash, has won a Democratic nomination for the seat being vacated by House Speaker Paul Ryan. Bryce is an Army veteran who campaigned on his working class roots. He won the endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders and beat his opponent Kathy Myers by 20 percentage points, despite recent negative media coverage about past arrests. He will face Republican Brian Steele in November. Also in Wisconsin, Tony Evers won the Democratic nomination for governor and will face incumbent Republican Scott Walker. Vermont's gubernatorial race made history with transgender candidate Christine Hallquist winning the Democratic nomination. Hallquist was Vermont's first transgender state lawmaker, and her Tuesday night victory made her the first transgender person ever to be nominated by a major party for the position of governor. If she wins the November race, she would also become, of course, the nation's first transgender governor. And in Kansas, a long-drawn-out vote count for the GOP nomination for governor has finally come to a close. Incumbent Governor Jeff Collier has conceded the race to his challenger Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State, and rabid anti-voting activist. Trailing behind Kobach by just a few hundred votes, Collier announced his concession, saying it was in the best interest of the Republican Party. In other news, the state of Pennsylvania has released a damning grand jury report about pervasive sexual abuse of children at the hands of Catholic priests. The report covers the period since 1947 in six dioceses. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro called it the, quote, largest, most comprehensive report into child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church ever produced in the United States. Here he is speaking at a press conference on Tuesday.
The grand jury uncovered credible evidence of sexual abuse against 301 predator priests. Over 1,000 child victims were identified by our investigation, though the grand jury notes that they believe that number was in the thousands. It was child sexual abuse, including rape, committed by grown men, priests against children. In the Diocese of Erie, the grand jury named 41 priests who sexually abused children. One priest in Erie, Father Chester Goronsky, fondled boys and told them he was doing so to perform a cancer check. One priest, Father Raymond Lukak, impregnated a 17-year-old girl, forged another pastor's signature on a marriage certificate, then divorced the girl shortly after she gave birth.
That's Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro announcing the results of a damning report into pervasive child sexual abuse by hundreds of Catholic priests against thousands of children. The report covers not only the sordid details of abuse and names the priests, but also the extent of the decades-long cover-up by higher-ups in the church. Meanwhile, a federal judge in New York has just ruled that former top Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein can be sued on charges of sex trafficking. An actress named Cadian Noble brought the suit against Weinstein last year, and Judge Robert Sweet has now cleared the way for it, despite the fact that it includes a broad interpretation of federal sex trafficking laws. Former aide to Donald Trump, Roger Stone, is under fire for briefly posting a swastika-filled doctored photo on social media earlier this week. A group shot of astronauts was doctored with his face and Trump administration officials' faces, including Trump himself, Mike Pence, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and others, and was captioned, "Space Force, in space no one can hear you lie." Mr. Stone posted the photo to his Instagram account and wrote, "I love this, proud to be in this crew. But the only lies are being told by liberal scumbags. Hashtag MAGA, hashtag Republican, hashtag InfoWars." There were a total of 8 swastikas in the photo, and Stone deleted it a few hours later. Stone, who advised Trump during his presidential campaign, is among those facing investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. President Trump continued to fuel the fire of insults being hurled at his former White House aide Omarosa Manigault-Newman, who has written a new tell-all book about him called Unhinged, amid reports that White House staff are terrified of her releasing more secret recordings. Trump tweeted, quote, "When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog." Trump also continued his attacks on the special counsel's investigation and took a swipe at his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions, for being, quote, "scared stiff and missing in action." On Tuesday, White House Press Secretary Sanders was asked if Trump had ever used the N-word, as alleged by Manigault-Newman, but Sanders said she could not guarantee it. Later in our show today, author Catherine Gerbner will join us to explain the roots of white supremacy, which she writes about in her new book, Christian Slavery, Conversion and Race in the Protestant Atlantic World. The ACLU has uncovered coordination between ICE and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Office in Boston, Massachusetts, to arrest undocumented immigrants seeking to adjust their status. According to CNN, the civil rights group filed documents in court showing that ICE and USCIS, quote, discussed scheduling interviews with immigrants at times that were convenient for ICE agents who would be waiting to arrest them, and in some cases initiate the deportation process. The ACLU is representing 5 Massachusetts-based couples that consist of citizens married to non-citizens who are impacted by the practice. West Virginia's legislature has voted to impeach all 4 justices on the state Supreme Court in a stunning rebuke. All 4 justices were accused of improperly spending hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to, among other things, furnish and renovate their offices. Politico on Tuesday published an exposé of the Trump administration's proposal to allow states to rewrite regulations for pollution from coal-burning plants and even opt out of regulating them altogether. The plan would undo yet another central piece of President Obama's efforts to curb climate change and comes at a time of record-breaking heat waves in the U.S. and around the world directly linked to global warming. Later in the program, we'll speak with senior climate scientist Geeta Prasad of the Union of Concerned Scientists about how climate change is driving California's massive wildfires this summer. The Union of Concerned Scientists has also just released a new report surveying scientists working in federal agencies under the Trump administration. According to the organization, quote, "a year and a half into the Trump administration, its record on science policy is abysmal, undermining the role of science in decision-making, expanding the influence of regulated industries, excluding public voices, censoring scientists, overriding and dismissing science advice, and hindering the collection and dissemination of scientific information." The report, entitled Science Under Trump, Voices of Scientists Across 16 Federal Agencies, surveyed more than 63,000 scientists working for the federal government. And a survey of farmers published on Tuesday has found that support for Donald Trump has dipped sharply, mostly due to the negative impacts farmers are feeling from China's retaliation to Trump's trade war. About 70% of farmers picked Trump in the 2016 election, but now only 50% say they would vote for him again. Trump support remains strongest among younger farmers, those who are 45 or less. And that does it for our headlines today.